And now it's time for Atlanta's Business, an in-depth look at Atlanta commerce, hosted by News Talk 1160 Vice President and General Manager Jeff Davis. Today's guest is Ryan Sowers from Our Town Gwinnett.
So Ryan Sowers, in an age in which people are proclaiming, you know, all kinds of doom and gloom about papers, newspapers, paper magazines, paper newspapers, whatever, you know, and everything's gone digital, this, that, and other thing. Your magazines, Our Town Magazine and Our Town Gwinnett, you're not only surviving, you're thriving.
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Jeff. You know, you're right. We hear this term, print is dead, and all this stuff's gone digital. And as a matter of fact, some surveys are saying the exact opposite is starting to occur. Catalogs and magazines are starting to grow again. And that's certainly what we're finding is people are taking a break from the everyday, constantly connected world we live in because we are tweeted at and we're LinkedIn at and we're Facebooked at and we're texted at and we're called. And you can, you know, count the number of ways people communicate. So we found that the printed magazine, again, that used to be the norm 15 years ago, is a leisurely read about community and family happenings, and we're rapidly growing in Gwinnett, and look forward to many years of growth.
You know, it's interesting. I think it has something to do with age, you know, demographics. I'm from an age where, you know, I lived a long time before we had all this digital stuff. You know, in fact, I even like to tell people that at my advanced age, you know, I thought I'd check out before I needed to learn all this stuff, you know, but I'm still here. So I've had to learn it all, you know, and it's quite dizzying. But I come from an age where we grew up on newspapers and magazines, and I still love having my newspaper in front of me every morning and my magazines in the evenings and on the weekends. There's something about the comfort of holding the thing, and, you know, it's bigger than my iPad. It's bigger than my computer screen even.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My grandparents started a big weekly newspaper chain in the late 1940s in Atlanta. To see that at third generation, the way I ended up back into this, because I have a consulting business too, has been interesting. And you're right. I use social media. I'm not good with computers, but I'm good with connecting with people. But I, too, still get my morning paper. And someone asked me recently, Jeff, they said, why do you get the newspaper? And I said, it brings me a sense of comfort when I read the sports section. They said, well, you know who won the game? And I said, I don't read it for that. It brings me back to when it was a little slower paced. Hmm. And so we can have our iPads and our Twitter, and I use all that. But I think people still long for a little calm and peace and the tangible copy as well.
You know, my daughter said to me, why are you reading a newspaper? It's 10 hours old. And I go, oh, my God, isn't that terrible? Oh, 10 hours old. Oh, geez. That's not why I read it.
That's right. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, we really, news breaks now through Twitter and social media spheres and traditional outlets pick it up. But it doesn't mean with the stories we put out in our town, the stories aren't time sensitive to that we happened yesterday. We're talking about what a great high school is, some a give back they're doing. We're talking about what a coach is meaning to his team in the community. That's not instantaneous news. Right. We know if the Atlanta Braves won last night or did not. But the good stories stand the test of a month or 6 weeks, and they make for an enjoyable read. And that's what our readers and following tell us, and that means a whole lot.
Okay, now all that said, you and I spoke before we went on the air, and I was very impressed with your knowledge of the digital world.
Right.
And your newspapers have a digital aspect to them.
Yes.
That's, frankly, it's quite sophisticated.
Well, yes. I mean, I was a social media early adopter. So, you know, I have in 2007, I jumped on LinkedIn. 2009, got on that thing we call Twitter. And with the magazines, we've created an audience of several thousand people that are actively engaged, a community helping the community. So, we have an online version that's heavily read. I tell people, I tell advertisers, I tell the community, the hard copy is our flagship, but at the end of the day, I don't care how you read it. If you want to read it on your phone, your iPad, you want to read in breaking stories on Facebook, I believe as a consultant, you know, wearing that hat, I believe in integrated marketing. Our flagship is growing, and we're putting out more printed copies. But if someone says, well, I want to read it on my iPad, that's fine. We're giving them that option too.
You know, let's take big city newspapers. You know, we have one here in Atlanta, but there's many across the country. What would you venture to say, Ryan Sowers, about their profit centers. Are they making more money still from their paper editions, or has the online revenue surpassed it?
Well, the problem with what a lot of these papers, that they gave away their information for free in the early days. They didn't have a model for electronic content. So in other words, in the early days was, if you were an Atlanta paper, you just put the online version, made that for free, but you made people pay for the printed version. So they devalued the product. Now people are, they're backtracking to find ways. Subscriptions, definitely we've seen across the country, have dipped. People want to read it online and get their news where it breaks. So I do feel the papers have a nice profit center in the digital versions because they don't have to physically manufacture a product and cut back on the subscription and then say, you can get your content your way, deeper stories, deeper editions, and do it digitally, which is their, you know, way of saying, you know, we don't have to put out as many print versions and you can still read it.
So which are they making more money on, print or...
I would argue digital.
Really? You think it's actually turned the corner, huh?
I would say it's probably close. I mean, and I don't have any data to back that up, but I know the flagship, just like in mine, is the printed version. But to play off the digital, you have to have the printed version. So I know circulations have declined, and I know younger people as a whole, this is a general statement, prefer the digital versions. But I don't know. That's a great question, Jeff. You know, I haven't looked at the data on that. I think they're trying to make it into a profit center. But I look at some of the rates, even the local ones are charging. I don't know how you can make a ton of money in that. So maybe not. I don't know.
You know what I think has happened? Even though subscriptions have dipped, they understand that those who still subscribe really want it.
That's right.
And the prices, the subscription prices have gone up dramatically.
Yes.
Because they know you're not going away.
Yes.
And they're going to get you, you know, one way or another.
Well,
I don't blame them. I understand, you know.
Yeah, and I have one, and I have the access to get free the digital and all the stuff comes with it, and I keep forgetting to do it. So, and I pay more than I was a few years ago, but I like it, so I do it.
But I do think you're right. People don't want to start paying for something they were getting for free.
Absolutely.
And that's a huge problem because,
absolutely,
you know, and I even tell our salespeople here, whatever price you set for your advertising with somebody initially, don't expect they're ever going to pay more.
That's right.
You know, understand when you set that price, this is the most they're ever going to pay, you know, and it can only go down.
That is exactly right.
And hopefully it stay the same. But it's generally, if you've agreed to take it at a certain price, they're not going to raise it up.
It's kind of like somebody's paycheck. You know, people are always good for a pay raise, but go talk to them about taking a pay cut. Not such a good conversation, right?
Exactly. Now, you're also an author. You know, you're an interesting guy, Ryan Sowers. You have your fingers in a lot of pies. Tell us about your career as an author. I've always admired authors. You
well,
know?
I appreciate that.
Wish I was one.
Well, it's an endeavor that I will tell you, the social media and connections I made around North America early on in Twitter and LinkedIn became real-life friendships and a bunch of people who have helped me along the way. An author is not an easy thing to do, to put out a book, this even a good book. Let's not even say a great book. So my first book came out, Everyone's in Sales, in 2012, and really reframed, Jeff, the word sales as we think about it to communication.
Life is selling, isn't it?
Life is selling. But some people say if they're an accountant or an engineer, I'm not a sales guy. I'm like, well, that's not what I'm saying to you. What I'm saying is when you're dealing with that customer, Mr. Accountant, are you not trying to sell your best services and communicate? Well, yeah. I mean, if that's your definition, I'm like, it is. So the whole book goes through and we talk about a lot of things and reframe it. And it's taken me 3 years to, you know, after I've done speakings and book signings around the country, to realize people really wanted to get to the next thing, which is how do you differentiate yourself? Okay, we've established sales as communications and so forth. But how do you answer the question of... Would you buy from you? Your brand makes the difference. That's what I named my second book.
It's a great title for a book. Would you buy from you?
Would you buy from you? And I'll tell you, Jeff, here's why I thought of that title. I asked a bunch of CEOs and executives one time, and then another time, and then another time in different parts of the country, would you buy from you? And they said, I guess. And I said, you guess? If you wouldn't buy from you, why would anybody else buy from you? And they said, well, we don't really offer anything that's that different than what anybody else does. And I said, what does that mean? And they said, well, what should we say? I said, fellows, your brand makes the difference. Your DNA, your value. And I defined in this book, value is equal to your price plus your service and offerings, if you will, plus you. And if you don't bring anything to the table, you're just a price, like we talked about a moment ago. You know.
So what the engineer or the CPA you were talking about before, who doesn't consider himself a salesperson, what is their view? What's kind of the traditional view of salespeople, you know, from non-salespeople? They have, I think, a totally skewed view, by the way.
Absolutely. I've actually done some recent national speaking for CPA conferences, and they literally, as I spoke to them, they sat stone-faced and didn't make an expression at all, and I thought maybe I was blowing it. And literally, after it was done, I got mobbed with, that was one of the best things we ever heard, because I believe what I've heard is we thought sales guys are the guys with the big expense accounts. They don't really do that much. You just, business comes to you.
Clients, they take them to cocktails.
Take them to cocktails, take them to lunch. You're a sales guy. I mean, what's so hard about it? You just got to be friendly and talk a lot. And I'm like, that's absolutely incorrect. And so in the book, Everyone's in Sales, I argued, you know, sales is about ethics and honesty and integrity and listening and thinking and solving problems and bringing pain relief to people. And when the engineers or accountants, if you will, started thinking of it that way, I actually had some good friends of mine who I was expecting to take a pot shot at me with a book said, you know what? You really made us think about this in a new way. And that meant a lot.
You know what I found, though, Ryan? I don't know if you've ever worked in a large organization where there's a sales department and there's another department, you know, billing and, you know, whatever, collections department. There's hostility toward the salespeople. You know,
yes.
The salespeople are often the best paid.
Yes.
They're often the best looking.
Yes.
You know? They keep themselves in shape. They drive nice cars, whatever it is. Have you ever sensed that hostility that people have toward them?
Absolutely. I mean, in the consulting work I've done the last 4 or 5 years and then working, you know, as an executive in a multi-million dollar company, I ran the sales and marketing side. And yes, people would come up to me daily and say, your people aren't doing anything. They don't do anything. I see them taking up people out to lunch. Where's the business? And I'm like, it doesn't happen overnight, guys. It's not a tangible thing. You're putting in a lot of sweat equity and building relationships and planting crops, if you will, for them to develop. And yes, whether it was accounting or finance or manufacturing or operations, they point at the salespeople and say, you have a cushy job and you don't really do that much. And that's a constant battle. And quite frankly, Jeff, drove me to write the book.
Mm. Well, I mentioned to you before, I've always admired writers, authors. Not people who write articles necessarily, but people who write a book. You know, you've got a book here. I'm looking to this one book. It's probably a couple hundred pages long or 140 pages long. I admire you because it seems like it's such a solitary field. You're spending a lot of time by yourself. And I've gotten to know you a little bit. You're a pretty social guy. You enjoy people. How do you handle those the solitude?
It is, your assessment is correct. I actually am halfway through my doctorate in organizational leadership, and it was much the same thing.
From Indiana Wesleyan
University.
Indiana Wesleyan,
and I'm working on that. And I plan to, I do adjunct college teaching at 3 universities in Atlanta. I love teaching. I love sharing my knowledge of real-world experience in the classroom. And yes, I'm a diverse, weird guy, crazy guy, whatever, but I embrace it. But to answer your question, whether I was writing those doctoral papers or writing a book, it strays against my natural personality type. You really have to hold yourself up, and it gets old, and it gets boring, and it gets lonely, and quite frankly, it's hard to stay on task. And so I would say that to do it right, you know, a lot of people can crank out a book in a few months if you can stay focused, but for me, I have to take a break, and, you know, it's sometimes for me a year task to write a really good book.
Do you have to kind of rewrite and rewrite and rewrite? Can get a little crazy, can it? You finally just push the send button and say, okay, this is it?
Yes, and I mean, that's a great question. In my first book, they said, how did you decide to finish it? I said, I can't write anymore. This is like the to be continued. In other words, every person and author I've done at all the book signings or conferences I've spoken at say the same thing. There becomes a point where you say, that's it. And it's just like a movie. When a scene's cut out, you say, this would be a great scene, but this movie now is getting too long. Same thing with the book. And as a perfectionist in nature, the new book I have, you know what? Yeah, right. You think of a new idea, and maybe you need to put that in there. And my wife's so good about it. She says, you don't have to write 12 books in one. You could write another one in a couple of years if you feel so moved. Mm. So it is. It's a tough task. It's a great sense of accomplishment to finish it. But yes, it is a lot of time where you're tied up by yourself.
How have your books been received? I know the one book is in the books, as we say, and that's one called Everyone Is in Sales. Written when?
It's copyright. Wrote that in 2012.
Okay, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so it's had a nice shelf life. You know, like I said, I've done.
Tell us about the reception.
Well, it was well received. I mean, you know, everybody first thing said, "Well, yeah, you know what? I agree with that. Everyone's in sales." I said, "There's a lot more to it than the title." But it was well received. I've probably spoken on the book or done webinar series on the book across the country probably 50, 60, 70 times in the last few years at least. Been very well received. But as you start anything, my second book's going to be better than the first book because there's a lot of things I learned along the way. And I realized things can flow better. And I realized things didn't maybe need to – maybe you were too redundant at points. So, yeah, I think you get better at anything the second
time. I've seen authors on TV say they never go back and read their books. Because they find all kinds of things that they would have done differently now. Because we get older and smarter.
Yep. Well, we have a chapter in the first book. It was called Integrating Social Media into the Real World. And as I'm writing and finishing the second book, I said, that's not really a chapter in the new book. Social media is the real world. Social media is a part of everything we do, like I said before. So at that point, 3 or 4 years ago, it was starting to become how things were starting to happen. And I said, this isn't a fad. This is a part of marketing and business. Mm. And, you know, that's a key difference.
By the way, I love the titles of both books. The titles are, well, the first book, Everyone Is in Sales, wonderful title. The title in the second book might even be better. And it's called Would You Buy From You, which is a wonderful, provocative title. The titles of books, they're very important, you know?
Well, it is. And if you know, at the top there, you notice I stress we're at the intersection of sales and marketing. And what I'm saying by that is, we can no longer just sit back and say marketing and say, well, I don't get marketing. That's for marketing people to do, or I just do sales. We have to really think about what's going on in our world, those changing demographics, the changing media. Everything's changing.
I find it hard to find people to even admit they're in sales. You know, they're scared to even say that. It's like if you sell insurance, like there's something wrong with you.
They do, you know? And so they have titles. I'm an account executive.
I'm a marketing consultant.
Yeah, that's right, I'm a consultant. Stuff. And you know, so the premise of book one was, you know, sales is not a dirty word. Sales is not a bad word. But there are a lot of gimmicky salespeople out there that – I shouldn't say that. There are some salespeople out there that have been gimmicky and unauthentic that have given sales a bad name. But the vast majority are people working really hard.
Ryan Sowers, we've only got a few minutes left, and I want to talk about your two magazines. One is called Our Town Magazine. The other one is called Our Town Gwinnett. Before we do that, though – you said something that I found very interesting, and that was about your grandfather, your great-grandfather being in the publishing business. I want you to tell us a little bit about your background. Maybe you can start from there and take
sure.
it from there.
So here's a quick story. You know, I write a column to this day. My grandparents on my mother's side started a weekly newspaper beside the big paper in Atlanta. That was the second biggest player in the late 1940s. He wrote a title each week for his weekly called One Man's Opinion. So I actually borrowed that when I started mine, and to my grandfather, put publisher's column, One Man's Opinion.
You have copies of his columns?
I don't, but I have his nameplate from his desk. And wow. My mom has some old copies. So what happened is ultimately in the early 90s, the newspapers closed down. My father took on the printing was vibrant at that time. He took on the printing side of it. I joined him soon after college to learn printing and try to sell printing. I didn't understand it, and I wasn't the most mechanical guy in the world, but I knew people. We grew that into a really mammoth national multimillion-dollar company, and then about 5 years ago left to launch into consulting. A couple years into that, let me back up. Along the way, I met the owner of Our Town Magazine and developed a friendship and so forth, and then the opportunity became into my consulting to buy the magazine. And so a few years ago, I bought it. We've changed it to an all-gloss format. We've increased the circulation.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. And then we've launched our second edition. So we have Our Town, Northeast DeKalb, Gwinnett. So that's your Tucker, Smoke, Rice, Stone Mountain area, all the way into Lilburn, Lawrenceville, and Snellville. And then we have our newest one we just launched here in February, Our Town, Grayson, Loganville, and Lawrenceville, kind of by the Archer High School area. And we're putting out about 25,000 between print to homes and places such as Chick-fil-A, family-friendly copies of each one every time it comes
out. They truly are separate markets,
too. Separate markets. And people, I mean, I was on the printing side, Jeff, when people said, we have a readership of 300,000. I'm like, care about your readership. How many people actually copies do you put out? And we put out real copies. I don't know what my readership is. I know it's a lot more than we put out. And yes, completely separate stories, completely separate markets. And been very pleased with that.
I got one more question. I want you to comment on this, Ryan Sowers, because you said this to me before we were recording. You're saying that people don't get much good news today, you know? And it's true. Because I said to you, you know, you say, well, what are you hearing a lot about these days? And I said, ISIS. And it's very sad because it makes it it's very scary and confusing, the world today. The Our Town magazines bring it all home, though, you know?
We focus, I tell people, if you want to read that stuff, if you don't get enough of it, I'm sure there's a place you can find it. It's community and family things. We're talking to principals. We're talking to high school football, baseball coaches. But we don't just leave it at the traditional sports. There's people that are swimming or people in lacrosse or people at the church doing stuff or people giving back in the community or service organizations doing things. We want to spotlight community members making a difference, and we do. And you know what? People love to see their name in print, and then they do go to their Facebook page and they share it. And then people call and say, how do we get a copy? And that's what I found interesting, Jeff, is that the printed copy leads back onto the online, and the online leads back to the print. And yeah, we will. You will never see in Our Town a bunch of negative news. It's positive and spotlighting people and groups making a difference in the community.
You know, we haven't talked about this yet, Ryan, but I'm willing to bet your advertisers get great results.
They say this: we are branded in the community as part of the community with positive happenings, and it brands our name in such a strong way that we are in a situation that we can't lose by being in Our Town. And the people that stay with Our Town year after year do very well. Mm. And it's amazing. You'd see most people drop off, but we have some of the most loyal people because they want to be part of good, positive news.
How about people wait anxiously for their
they do
for their Our Town?
Yes, sir.
And on that note, that's going to do it for our interview today. And Ryan, it's been a great pleasure talking with you. Ryan Sowers, publisher of the Our Town magazines. One's called Our Town and the other one is called Our Town Gwinnett. They cover communities all over Gwinnett County, pretty much Lawrenceville, Snellville, Lilburn, Stone Mountain, Grayson, Loganville and surrounding areas. And you're also an author. You're the author of two books, Everyone Is in Sales and Would You Buy From You. How do we get in touch with you and your magazines, Ryan Sowers?
Best way to reach me, period, and you can find me on there. If you just go to ourtowngwinnett.com, you can find all our information. Or if you can't find that, just put in my name, ryansowers.com, ryansowers.com, and you'll find both things overlapping to find whatever you're looking for.
OurTownGwinnett.com or RyanSowers.com.
That is correct.
Ryan Sowers, thanks so much for being
here. Hey,
with
it's
us.
A pleasure being here. Thank you, Jeff.
You've been listening to Atlanta's Business with your host, News Talk 1160 Vice President and General Manager, Jeff Davis. Tune in every weekend and mind your business, Atlanta's Business, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.